Blog Talk Radio.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth leaving, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
Martin coming to you live on Blog Talk Radio, and God is good. Praise God. Amen. I'm thanking you for tuning in this morning and allowing me to come before you. God is so good. I want to turn that up a little bit, make sure you can hear me. The message this morning that I want to go into is a timely message. It's about taking a stand. How many of us heard that if you don't take a stand for something, you'll fall for anything? Amen? Amen. So I just want to come before you shortly, bring this nugget, this spiritual nugget, that I know you will be able to receive for the weeks on and carry you through. For those that are seeking encouragement this morning, amen? Amen. So if you know someone that you know that they're walking around with their head hung down, tell them to call in, tune in, amen, amen, to tune in to Blog Talk Radio, amen, amen. We're coming before you live this morning, amen. So I want you to go with me real quickly, amen, amen, to Isaiah chapter 53. Amen, amen. Isaiah chapter 53. Amen. Verse 7. Amen. Are you there? Amen. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Amen. Amen. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Amen. And when we think about Jesus going toward Jerusalem, and as he went toward that direction, you do know the disciples didn't get where he was going. They didn't understand the whole reasoning for it all. And when Peter would constantly, when Jesus would tell him about what he was doing, he would always go, well, you don't have to do that. You shouldn't have to do that. Why are you doing that? I don't think God wants you to do that. But Jesus would always rebuke him because, of course, he knew who it was. It was the enemy speaking through Peter. Many times when we get on the trail to do something for God, you're going to find people that come about and they're going to say, why are you doing that? What are you doing that for? Why are you going in that direction? Did God really tell you that? They'll make you second guess and almost think your own thinking knowledge about it. God may have spoke to you, allowed you to be ministered in it, allowed you to go through it, to get the training for it, and all of a sudden, yeah, people are going to come up and try to take you off that path. But that's when you know you're going on the right path. Because when God gave it to you, you should know the opposition will come. Amen? How many of us know what I'm talking about? Amen? So at the beginning of the journey, Jesus had clearly revealed to them, to the disciples, God's will, that he would be delivered into the hands of the Gentile, and that he would be scourged and put to death, and would rise from the grave on the third day. They did not understand, amen? They didn't understand it at all or put it in their minds. They couldn't believe that Jesus was going to Jerusalem where he restored Israel and set up an earthly kingdom. They thought the kingdom they was going to get was being mansions, you know, I guess, and have elitist vehicles. I guess you say whatever drove them around at that time, amen, amen? They thought they would have the best of the best. They didn't understand what he meant when he was talking about the kingdom. But as they came near to Cumberland, amen, they began to argue among themselves. Read Mark 9:33-37. Can you see them as they walked along the road, their voices raising in anger? I baptized more people. Maybe so, but I've done greater works. I'm the eldest. I deserve to be first. That may be true, but I'm the most learned. I'm the greatest. You hear people do that now, right? I'm from so-and-so's church. I graduated this school. I have this degree. I'm a major in theology. I have a doctrine. I'm this, I'm that. But you know what? But before God, we're nothing. Did you know that this morning? So here it is, they're arguing among the road. They're talking about how they deserve to be first in the coming kingdom because they perceive that the kingdom is here in the land of the living. They began to still conswabble about, I deserve the most prominent position. Their minds were set on the glory and the power, not realizing or wanting to see that where that price was to pay for it, or where that kingdom was. Amen. Amen. Later on their journey, as they left Galilee and entered into Judea, Peter came to Jesus and asked him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me and the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of the glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the tribes of Israel. Did y'all understand that? You can read Matthew 19:27-28. As they drew near to Jerusalem, amen, amen, and their excitement and anticipation grew, not knowing or understanding God's will, the disciples were convinced that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem at that time. And as they walked toward Jerusalem, their minds were set on the thrones Jesus had promised them. Amen? It was about a week before his death on the cross, twice before he had spoken of the suffering and death facing him in Jerusalem. Once again, he took the 12 disciples aside and told them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priest and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and to scourge, and to crucify, and the third day he shall rise again. Read Matthew 20:18-19. I want to put on pause for a minute. When we think about how many people have gotten into ministry and not understood the full scope of ministry and what they're about to do, You hear so many pastors stepping down. Recently, someone said like 900 pastors had stepped down from the calling, had gotten into the faith and decided that that was not what they wanted, because many think that it would be prestigious. Many do not understand the rolling up of one sleeve and having to get into the trenches of sin to pull people out. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying partake of sin, but being that is light in the midst of darkness. Help me, Holy Ghost. Many don't understand what is called upon them to do. Yes, you see people ravishing about the luxuries that they have attained in that calling, but you don't know the other side and what they had to do to get it. Amen. Everybody ain't calling on Jesus to get what they have. Amen. I want to encourage you to know that this morning. But it is Paul who said that many have, because of their belly, have walked away from the faith and became an enemy to God. Why would Paul have said that? Because many treasured more of the things in the land of the living than they did of God. Did you understand? You see, a soul is priceless. Help me, Holy Ghost. A soul is priceless, amen? Beyond rubies, beyond diamonds. Did you know that, amen? The Bible said for those that get those saved, you cover a multitude of sin. Did you know that? You could be rich, not doing what God said, but you go out here and get someone saved and watch what God will do for you. Amen, amen? You don't have to carry a title. You ain't got to walk around pumping your chest up, standing up in a pulpit talking about how great you are. Because if you're really great, you know you're nothing in the land of the living. We are all disciples of God. Amen, amen, amen. So they heard Jesus speak plainly about his death, but their minds were too occupied with the thoughts of the glory they would receive in the coming kingdom and the land of the living. That's right. Their natural minds rejected any thoughts that Jesus would suffer pain and death, or possibility that they might also be taken, beaten, and killed. That was far from their minds. It was too painful to think about. Following his announcement, James and John came to Jesus privately saying, "Master, we would that thou should have do for us whatsoever we shall desire." And Jesus said, "What would ye that I shall do for you?" And they replied, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory." And Jesus answered, "Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of?" Help me, Holy Ghost. "And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with." Many have gotten into the calling and thinking that it is going to be peace always. The Bible never promised you peace. He said with trials and tribulations, I'm telling you, with trials and tribulation, we are made stronger. You do understand that. Amen, amen. So if trials and tribulations make you stronger, why would you be inept not to go through it? And as a child of God, why would you think you're not going to experience? Why would you think you're not going to experience the low valleys and the high valleys? Help me, Holy Ghost. But you see, the disciples declared, "We can," Mark 10:35-39. In answer to James and John's request for the position of power and glory in his kingdom, Jesus, in essence, was saying, there is a price to pay. You must be able and willing to drink of the cup that I drink. We must be able to be persecuted like him. Amen. We must be able to deny ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. We must be able to understand that we're going to go in places that we never thought we needed to go to bring out those that needed to become to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To be knowledgeable and to know who he is, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Without fully understanding what that meant, and anxious to be granted their request, James and John quickly answered, "Oh, yes, we are able, we are willing to drink of the same cup." Amen? Many people take on a calling just like that. They say, "I'm able, I can do ministry. Oh, yeah, I can be a minister. Oh, yeah, I can be a pastor. Oh, yeah, I can be an apostle. Oh, yeah, I can be a prophetess." And they end up in trouble with God. Why? Because they become a prophetess, and they're not called by God to be a prophetess. So they go around prophet lying. They go around telling people crazy stuff. I saw someone once, they were looking at the lady, and they were telling her, "I see," like they were soothsayer. And the demonic spirit that was on them was unbelievable. But the guy that loosed her to do that was wrong. You get what I'm saying? Just because somebody ordained you as a prophet don't mean you called as a prophetess. You better check yourself with God, amen? There's some people walk around talking, they're a minister, but they don't have no love for nobody. I know someone like that. I know someone that they don't respect anyone's calling but their own, because they were ordained out of one particular church. they think if you don't come out that church, you shouldn't be acknowledged. So you know what they do? They go around calling everybody else by their first names, disrespecting people, calling, not acknowledging anyone else's but their own. But when they tell you who they are, they use their title. That is ungodly. That is just like the disciples talking about, I'm greater than the other one. Is that not the same? Is that not the same thing that was going on when they were arguing down the road about who was the greater? Amen? You got folks talking about, if you don't go to my church, you shouldn't be acknowledged as a child of God, because only my pastor got the power to get people saved. The devil is a liar. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? It's foolishness. Tell somebody. It's foolishness. It has wedged a big divide in the kingdom, in the land of the living. It has not done God grace. I'm telling you, I don't know who this message is for, but it's for somebody listening. God wants you to know time is up for playing church. Amen? Time is up for running around talking about who's the greatest, because you ain't know. You are not the greatest. I'm not the greatest. None of us are the greatest. I'm telling you, Jesus is the greatest. Shabbatike Mahaya. I don't know who I'm talking to, but this message is for you. So don't be standing around pondering times, talking to fools that's sitting up going back and forth, thinking that they're great in the land of the living, because if they knew Jesus, they would know never to say that. They would know to repent about that. How many of us know what I'm talking about right now? Amen, amen. But here it is. They were so anxious. Did you hear that? They were so anxious to be a partaker of what Jesus was about to take on. Amen? They did not understand the full thing of what was going on. They did not understand his ministry, yet they walked with him. There are people that take on a calling and do not understand the ministry of that calling. They only take it up. You ever seen somebody, and you ask somebody to do something for you? Kids are great with this. You give them something to do, and you say, can you go in there and wash the dishes? Yeah, I wash the dishes. You know, and you go in there, and they done half washed the dishes. They done put the dishes all around the sink, half of them dirty. You look at them going like, they shouldn't even done it if they wasn't going to do it right, right? Well, it's the same thing when somebody takes on a calling for God, help me, Holy Ghost, and they're not called by God. They'll do it halfway. They won't put their heart into it. They won't even put, for them to do it with an excellent spirit. They'll make excuses for that. God understands. God don't understand, amen? If you're doing it for God, you need to do it righteously for God. If you're going to do it for God, you need to carry the character of Jesus Christ. Yeah, folks get on your nerve. Yes, they say stuff that you want to go and go, you know what, Lord, help me, Jesus, because that spirit in me that I know I'm trying to get away from is coming up right now. And the Lord said, I rebuke you. You know, you hear the Lord telling you, you're better. Greater is you that's in you than is in the world. So it lets you know you can overcome those emotions. So there's no excuse for a child of God to be walking around cursing or telling off their brothers and sisters or slandering their name. There's no excuse. He's already given us a way of escape. We're already victorious. He said greater that is in us than is in the world. Do you understand? So if you're not a defeated saint and you walk around talking about you're in calling and you have a ministry, there's no reason you walk around with a spirit of pride. You should know what a spirit of pride looks like. The Bible said that God, he leaves pride. He doesn't deal with pride. I'm telling you, he doesn't deal with pride at all. Did you know that? Amen. He resists the prideful. The word of God says that. It says he resists the prideful. That means that when you're prideful, the things that you thought you should get, you may not be getting them because of the fact that your pride is in the way. You say, my pride ain't hurting nobody. Yes, it is. It's hurting you. It's hurting you because you've allowed your pride to make it where you're not humble enough to say thank you to anyone because you think that you deserve it. Your pride is in the way because you don't know how to say, I made a mistake. I need to step away from this. Your pride is in it because you don't have to go to God and say, God, I repent for not going to you first about this situation, about what I should have done before that, God. You get my point? You're prideful because you don't know how to go back to your job and say, you know what, I apologize to my boss because I was out of the will when I said that. God puts people in places of authority. You do know that, right? Amen, amen. God put people in place of authority, regardless of how they turn out. God puts them in that place. They wouldn't be there if he didn't allow it. Amen? He said, well, the devil can do it too. Yeah, God put them there. Read about Saul. Read about him. Amen? Read about leadership throughout the word of God. Amen? Even when they were raunchy kings, terrible people, God still was the person that put them there. Amen? Amen? God was the person that put them there. They were the one that chose. They were the one that allowed the enemy to come in and make them do wrong. Do you understand? God would handle the situation in the end of it. Amen? Amen? So you need to read the word of God. And it's the same thing with people walking up to them. They're called by God to be a pastor, a minister, apostle, a bishop, a prophetess. and walk around here going on road, just going road. And when I say going road, I'm not talking about doing out of the will of God. I'm talking about going straight out of the will of God. I'm talking about going out of the will of God, and I'm talking about when you're not listening to the Lord, amen? Going rogue does not mean that you're not running behind some pastor picking up their coat, talking about the pastor didn't tell me to move, and then you go out and do a ministry. That's not going rogue. That's following Jesus. I'm talking about folks that walk around, and all they do is sit around, and they've got their own world what ministry should be, and they think the people are servants to them, and the devil is a liar. We are not your servant. The people in calling, the pastors, the leadership, thus, we're the servants. We should be serving the people. But instead, people that we're supposed to go to in the church, we walk around with our heads stuck up. We won't even speak to the people. I know some of them, they've got these guards. They pushing the people back. Don't come near me like there's some God or something. You have your day. You have your day. You have your day. Those that are listening that you do that, you have your day. In Revelation 20, it says that we will all be judged. And what we've done in these bodies, we are all supposed to be the servant of God. And when people take on, tell me, I want to be a pastor, I want to be a minister, that get like James and John, they don't even understand. The Bible said they were so quick to answer. They were so quick and anxious to answer, but they did not understand. Amen? They answered James and John's request. Here it is. Amen. I'm going to read it again. And declare, we can. And in answer to James and John's request for the position of power and glory in the kingdom, Jesus in essence was saying, there is a price to pay. I'm going to say it again. You must be able and willing to drink of the cup that I drink. If you're going to get in ministry, there's a great sacrifice. There's a great denial. You can't hang with everybody. You can't go everywhere. I hear people talking about, I still go out to the clubs, then you out of the will of God. Why would you? Talking about you seeking people that are lost. What? You can go to the bus stop and get that. You can stand on the street and just go get that. Why would you go into a place that you've been delivered of? Amen, amen. Playing with the spirit that was delivered of you. Amen, amen. Amen. Playing with yourself, pretty much. You're invoking a spirit about yourself, of temptation, something that will come about. A great pastor died like that. He ended up going to California. I won't name his name. Great man of God. Going to California, and the next thing you know, he ended up in some strip club. Great man of God, all on TV, doing it great. Powerful man. I admired him because I saw him and his wife grow from nothing. I saw them have one of these little network television shows that was really like some little cable off-brand show, and they built their ministry all the way up, all the way up. But you got to understand, the devil is not sitting back on the sofa just watching you. He's hoping that you get to a point where he's going to bring you all the way back down. And when you open up doors, he's going to run through that door to grab your spirit and do just that. And the Bible says that when those spirits come back, that person's state is worse than they were before. Do you understand? It's several more demons. Now, you may have gotten delivered of alcohol, but if you play around like that, not only is alcohol coming back, help me, Holy Ghost, but depression's coming back. I'm telling you, all sorts of stuff is coming back, stuff you ain't never did before, amen? Because the Bible said that person's state is worse than they were before. So why would you go into a place that the Bible said you're not supposed to go, amen? Once you're delivered, because he said, what has old wine got to do with new wine? What has darkness got to do with light? Do you understand what I'm saying? So this particular preacher, when he was in California, went up into a club, a strip club, fell in love with a woman. It was a seductress spirit. She had a seducing spirit. The enemy used her, and he used her good. Do you know, to this day, nobody knows what the woman looked like. All they know is the woman took him down. And next thing you know, he got caught up in emotion with the woman, asked his wife for a divorce. It was all over the place. It was terrible. He went all the way up. All the way up. He ended up back on the very drug that God had delivered him from. He ended up back on a drug, and they found him in New York in a hotel room, dead. Dead. Because I told you again, you don't play Russian roulette with God, amen? You ain't nobody. We're servants to the Most High God. We are not to walk around here and thump our chests like we're all that. I love preachers that I see humble. When I go to a church and I see a preacher that's so humble, that he's so humble, I've been in churches and I've seen the nastiest people say they call to preach. Standing up in the pulpit, come down like they're a little God. They want you to lay down at their feet. The devil is a lie. Now, I'm not saying you don't give them respect, because the Bible said we give all honor where honor is due. Amen. That's lined up with the will of God. We pray for leadership. But also, you need to keep in mind that no one is greater than God. That's why when I hear people talk like the disciples were talking, well, I go to this church and I'm going to get this, and I know I'm making it in heaven because my pastor, he ordained us, and my apostle, he's the greatest, and he was the first. And I'll be like, they sound crazy, God. They don't read the Bible. They don't understand. Do you understand what I'm saying to you this morning? I'm not going to be before you long, but this message is for somebody listening. You need to take a stand. Who for? For God. Amen, amen. Because if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. Amen, amen. That means what you hear, the Bible said, there's some going to and fro with itchy ears, never ever learning. All they do is go around talking, I'm going to listen to this one, I'm going to do this. And they never ever understand what the Lord is saying. They never perceive what God is telling them. You need to read the Word of God. Amen, amen. Read the Word of God. Amen. Any great leadership will be thankful that you're reading the Word of God. Amen. And that you're understanding the words for yourself rather than sitting there and watching somebody pop you like a whore and turn around and give you a whole bunch of information, and you find out later that there's nothing, that it wasn't even right. I've heard people preach, and the stuff they preach wasn't even lined up with the Word of God. They just started saying stuff out of their head because why? Their pride made them want to look like they knew what they were talking about. But in essence, if you read the Word of God, you knew they weren't lining up with the Word of God. Amen? So if you say, like James and John, you want to do what God does, you want to do what Jesus does, in essence, amen, you want to be like Jesus, amen, you better get ready to sacrifice, amen. You better get ready to deny yourself, amen. You better get ready to exemplify Jesus Christ through your life, amen. You better get ready to be able to repent instantly, amen. You better be ready to pray instantly, amen. You better be ready to fast, hallelujah, God. It is not a thing of walking around looking good and looking like you got the image, because there'll come a show and tell time, help me, Holy Ghost. It'll come a time where you'll be tried by fire, and you'll be sitting there saying, I'm running for the hills, and that's what's happening. So I want to encourage those, not disencourage you, but if God has told you to move forward in the ministry, you need to go before God and ask God to confirm it to you. Amen, 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 amen. Don't get out there and then think that you're going to have all these pleasantries in the land of the living. Yes, you will be blessed. Yes, God wants the greatest for it. The Bible said God searches the heart of man to do him good. So why else would he be searching hard to do you good? He's talking about the land of living. So yes, God will bless you. But never let pride perceive you. Amen, amen, amen. So Jesus answered, I'm going to say again, you know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized, amen, with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they declared, we can. Mark 10:35-39. And in answer to Jesus, to James and John, amen, amen, request for a position of power and glory in his kingdom, Jesus, in essence, was saying, there's a price to pay. You must be able and willing to drink of the cup that I drink. And without fully understanding what that meant and anxious to be granted their request, James and John quickly answered, oh, yes, we are able, we are willing to drink of the same cup. To share someone's cup was an expression used for sharing his destiny. The cup Jesus would soon drink was full of sorrow, anguish, pain, and death. It contained the sins of the world. It included the crown of thorns, the mockery, the beating, the shame, the death. Stand this morning. Amen. Jesus knew it was only through his willingness and obedience to God, amen, God's will, to drink the cup of sorrow, that he would win the ultimate victory over Satan. He knew that only through the shedding of his blood would God's will be put into effect. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Did you understand? For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the test taker. Amen. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester, amen, liveth. Whereupon neither do the first testament was dedicated without blood. That's Hebrews 9:14-18. I want to encourage you to read it again and meditate on it. Allow the Lord to minister to you. Amen, amen. Through the shedding of Jesus' blood, God's will was declared valid and was put in force. Amen, amen. Knowing the price, knowing the cup of sorrows he was to drink into Jerusalem, Jesus did not turn aside. His ear was open to hear the will of God. He was not rebellious. He marched toward Jerusalem to face Satan, determined, regardless of the cost, to do the will of God. Jesus kept on walking the dusty road to Jerusalem. Can you do that? Amen. Jesus did not doubt. He knew God's word would come to pass. Amen. If the Lord truly called you to move forward in your ministry and in your calling, or whatever you claim God gave you, then he will give you the strength to continue on moving forward. Don't give up. Amen. Don't give up when in the middle of the wilderness. Everybody that has a ministry, especially a successful ministry, had to go through a wilderness moment. Amen, amen. And you'll have many of those moments. Amen. You'll have many times where you sit around and go, I don't know why did I do what? You know, and then you got to get back before God. And God redirect your path. Again, humility is so important. Humility is so important. Amen, amen. So I want to encourage you this morning to take a stand. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall raise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteous is of me, saith the Lord. Amen, amen. So there's no reason to fear. Amen. He tells us not to fear. Amen. He said, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of those anymore, of the widowhood anymore. And that's in Isaiah, amen, 54:4. I want to encourage you this morning, amen, to move forward in what God's got for you, amen. Many of you are seeking the Lord, and you're asking for God to show you what he has for you. Now it's time to start thanking God for showing you, because he's going to reveal it to you. But you got to start thanking God. Amen. Amen. Stop just sitting there begging, groveling, because God heard you the first time. Amen. Did you know that? He heard you the first time. Now you need to start thanking him. Amen. And watch what God will do. I told someone recently, they were singing at the first, the third revival we had them come and sing. And they did a phenomenal job last time. And they reached out to me about singing in Baltimore. And I said to them, you know, sure. You know, I said, God will make room for your gift. And I looked at her situation. God had literally made room for a gift. I didn't know she could sing like that. Beautiful singing. And each time she's come, she's gotten even better. And I tell people, you know, they look at me and say, oh, how could you have that person speaking? It didn't even seem like they're ready. But it's not like that. It's what God will do with them. You see what I'm saying? This is not showtime at the Apollo. This is ministry. Amen, amen. This is ministry. It's a hospital. Amen, amen. Ministry, wherever the building is, wherever we're at, with the facility is, that we're having the Lord's presence in and we're doing the worship and we're doing, that's a hospital. It's not for well baby. It's not a well baby clinic. It's not for people to walk in that don't know Jesus. It's for people that need Jesus. Amen? 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 So I just want to encourage you this morning, whoever it is that's listening, because I know this message is for you. It is not a mistake that you tuned into this. Take a stand. People don't even respect people that are back and forth. The Bible said a man double-minded is double-minded all his way. Take a stand. Which one will it be? Are you going to serve the Lord, or are you going to serve man? Are you going to be about money, or are you going to be for God? Are you going to love people, or are you going to walk around spewing bitter and anger and just viciousness and backbiting? God hates a backbiter. You do know that, right? The Bible says that. God hates a backbiter. That's why when I hear people backbiting, and then they go to the Lord, I prayed to God for him to do this, look like he ain't did it. Well, you need to get it right. You need to repent, number one, because that's probably what's holding you up is that mouth. The Bible said the power of life and death is in the tongue. Did you know that? Amen, amen. So what we speak out of our mouth, we speak into life. Did you know that? I'm telling you, there's so much I can go over right now with you to prove what I just said. Amen, amen. But I want to encourage you right now, wherever you are, to take a stand. I can't say it enough. Amen. Stop the lukewarm stuff. What do you believe in? People don't respect people that are wishy-washy. You ever seen someone like that? Amen, amen. They 1 minute on one side, 1 minute on another side, they don't even know who they are. But when you get in ministry, that's a dangerous thing to do. Amen? Amen? Because people that aren't saved are watching you. And they define Christianity by the way you're walking. So when they look at you, they go like, oh, you know what? They ain't right. That I don't want no part of that. Recently, that situation happened. I'm going to close out. But recently, that situation happened. Exactly. Someone saw someone that came to me, and they said, after I saw that lady, they told me, they said, Pastor Pam, I don't want no part of ministry. And they're in the world. So I had to minister to them again and say, oh, you know, everybody's not like that. But this particular person, they hit so stuck up in the air. I don't know how you can bring them down to tell them that you're not right. You're not leading. You're not exemplifying Jesus Christ. You're exemplifying the enemy and his character traits. So check yourself. Amen. Take a stand. Amen. Take a stand on Jesus Christ. Take a stand on Jesus Christ because he took a stand on you. Amen. 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 For those of you that don't know the Lord, it's an opportunity for you to know him. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot go to heaven. You can't enter heaven. Amen. Amen. If you're not saved, you will go to hell. People want to wash it down and say, oh, no, that's not true. You know, or it's this other flip side, too, that everybody's going. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Jesus said, a fire quenched not in hell. Did you know that? Hell wasn't made for saints. It wasn't made for people that accepted Jesus Christ. It was originally made for the angels that were cast out from heaven. Amen? But because of what people have done, it is now relayed. It's sitting there waiting for people that do not accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you, wherever you are right now, to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But if you're in backslidden, repent. I'll tell you, those seven more demons are no joke. Whatever it was you were delivered of, imagine that magnitude, and then turn around, you get seven other kind of demons that got all sorts of other stuff going on. It said that person's state is worse than he was before. Can you imagine? I often wonder, maybe the guy that Jesus met up with in the graveyard, that he had to cast the demons out, they say he was running through, pulling on the skin and pulling the chains, they had chained him down. Maybe that's what happened to him. Maybe it was seven more demons that had made him like that. I want to encourage you, this is not a time to play with God. This is time to take a stand. Amen? 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 So I want to thank God for each and every one of you allowing me to come before you. I want to ask you to put on the shield of faith. Believe God. Amen? I'm going to leave you with this one thing. Amen? We go Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Amen? 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 Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And I'm closing completely out. Amen? 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 And I went up to the revelation and communicated unto them that, amen, that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but probably to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or have run in vain. Amen, amen. I'm sorry, y'all, I gave y'all the wrong one. Sorry, y'all believe. It's 220. Sorry about that, 220. Amen, amen. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me say that again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me and gave himself for me. Amen. Many Christians are weak because they are depending upon their own faith, amen, to fight and to resist the enemy. The faith that makes us conquering soldiers is the faith of Jesus Christ that is given to us by God. Man in his own limited ability and his own fallen human nature is not capable of producing the faith necessary to save himself, because we can't save ourselves, amen? We can't necessary to its own salvation, amen? Faith is the gift of God that is planted in the hearts of those who acknowledge Christ as the Son of God and surrender their wills to him, amen? For by grace ye are saved, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. I want to say it again because I want y'all to get this. Somebody listening, amen, that this message is for your entire message, amen? Take a stand. Many Christians are weak because they're depending upon their own faith to fight, amen, pause, and resist the enemy. I'm saying pause on purpose, amen, ain't no mistake, amen, pause. The faith that makes us conquering soldiers is faith of Jesus Christ that is given us by God. Man in his own limited abilities, amen, you ain't got no power, and his fallen human nature is not capable of producing the faith necessary to his salvation. Faith is a gift of God that is planted in the hearts of those who acknowledge Christ as the Son of God and surrender their wills to him. In essence, it is important folks get saved. You understand now why? For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:8. Amen, amen, amen. Y'all got that? Faith is a supernatural force produced in the heart of man by hearing and receiving the written word and the living word. Amen. Jesus Christ into his life. Jesus and the word cannot be separated. Did you understand? Jesus is the word. The one hears received the word into his spirit. He receives faith. So then faith cometh by hearing. Hallelujah. And hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. The apostles, Paul, did not boast in his own faith. Amen. Remember the disciples going back and forth like that? Amen. Remember, Paul wasn't with them at that time. He wasn't with them at all. He was later on down the road. Amen. The apostle Paul did not boast in his own faith. He said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loveth me and gave himself for me. It is Christ's faith within us, wherein we are able to stand strong. Did you understand that? We are able to stand strong and unmovable in the face of trials and tribulation. It is Christ's faith within us, amen, that becomes a powerful shield. I'm doing this on purpose. If somebody listening to this message, is for you. Protecting us and quenching all fiery darts of Satan. It is Christ's faith within us that not only makes us invulnerable, amen, to Satan attacks, but also has enabled us to overcome the world, John 5:4. In the original Greek text, the verb is in the past tense. Our faith that is in Jesus Christ is the victory that has already overcome the world. The victory has already been won. Do you understand? So there's no need for you to struggle for what God has for you. You've already got the victory in it. All you got to do is profess it and know that God will do it. You didn't ask God for it. Now you profess it. Now thank him for it and keep moving forward. Amen. And when folks come up to you and say, I thought, you just keep standing on it. Keep believing what God promised you. Amen. Before going to the cross, Jesus told his disciple, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He did not say in a few days, I am going to overcome the world, or even I will overcome the world. Jesus said, I have over, past tense, I have overcome the world. Amen. His faith was in fact that the Almighty God, who has sent him to earth to destroy the works of Satan, would do what he had promised to do. Remember the text that Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, any